curious, has anyone had the experience where you received a piece of advice and those words just stuck? So maybe you remembered these words because, well, it was a clever saying, or it was a very trusted person who spoke those words, or maybe it was just because that piece of advice served you so well that you never ever forgot it. So is that you? I mean, could you name that piece of advice that you were given? I have one of these, a piece of advice given to me almost 20 years ago now. I mean, I can't believe it's been that long. I got this advice from a teacher of mine, Dan Olson, who was a pastor, psychologist, and professor. He served as a chaplain during the Vietnam War, ran counseling centers, and taught. I found him to be so incredibly interesting in a brilliant, quirky kind of way. One of his insights that came from seeing just about everything and working with people in different settings was this phrase, this piece of advice, this saying that has stuck with me for almost 20 years because of its simplicity, the fact that it's proved true over and over, and has helped me in many different situations. Dan said this to me, "Don't be surprised by what the human is capable of doing." Simple, right? So unfortunately, the context for this quote was not in the sense of don't be surprised by all the wonderful things humans will do for each other, although there are many examples of that. Instead, the context for this piece of advice was not being surprised by the many and various ways that we end up hurting one another, especially the people that you would never expect. So for me, that little nugget of wisdom has been important because it helps name one aspect of being human, specifically that we all hurt each other, whether that's emotionally, verbally, or physically. You have and you will hurt people that you care about, and even those you don't know, just as others will hurt you. Sometimes the hurt we inflict on others is unintentional, a careless moment, an accident, an innocent insult. And sometimes the hurt we cause is carried out with careful precision, designed to inflict the most damage possible. Humans hurt each other, and what Dan wanted to prepare us for was not to be caught off guard when members of your community or your church or your family or leaders in the country even, people who you respect and love, people who look good as if they have everything put together, end up doing something downright just awful. Dan wanted us not to be caught off guard by this, because when it happens, and it will, not only will the person who is harmed need care, but also the one who perpetrated the harm. And if you are half prepared for it, if you are aware of you are looking for that, then you're in a good position to be present to all involved. Never be surprised by what the human is capable of doing. Jesus knew that. He had many run-ins both with his disciples and with the religious community as a whole. He was the target of insults, complaints, and criticisms by others. I don't care who you are, that doesn't feel good and does nothing to foster positive, healthy relationships. As human beings, we are so talented at hurting one another. So, what do we do when that happens? I'm not talking about the small things where you just need an hour alone to cool down or get a simple apology to resolve the issue. No, I'm really talking about bigger issues. I'm talking about when someone consistently bullies your kid. Like, that's hard. I'm talking about when someone mocks a value that is central to the way that you see the world. Can you have a relationship with that person? I'm talking about a painful divorce, hurtful, demeaning words that come from a family member. Betrayal. I'm talking about when someone harms you, or vice versa, when you go out of your way to get back at another person because you are so angry with them. I mean, where does this end? Where does it lead? And what do you even do about it? You've heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment." But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. So here's the thing. I don't think that there is an easy answer to this. When we talk about our mission at Bethlehem, that we practice being a disciple of Jesus when we worship, pray, learn, give, and serve, if you unpack those different elements, what it means to learn, as in to learn the story of our faith, that does not mean checking your brain at the door and accepting simplistic, superficial answers to really tough questions. No. Learning the story of our faith is to wrestle with the story. It's to ask deep, probing questions. So in our focus text today, when Jesus calls his followers to practice reconciliation to such an extreme that even those who are simply angry or insult another must go and seek to be reconciled, I'm like, well, that sounds nice, but how do you realistically do that? Not only is it hard, but why would I want to? Sometimes I like being mad at people. I just do. It makes me feel superior. This is not as simple as something that Jesus says to his followers and we go, okay, I'll take care of that tomorrow. It's too big, it's too hard. So I think it is helpful to understand for Jesus why this is so important. Like, reconciliation is at the core of the kingdom of God that Jesus teaches and enacts. In God's kingdom, in God's world, relationships matter. Your connections with creation, with God, and with each other, they are paramount. They're at the center. And all kinds of things break these sacred connections. And if the kingdom of God is about putting the world back together again, then it is about restoring connections, which is about reconciliation. When our connection with God, creation, and one another, when these connections are broken, we are self-centered. We find ourselves unsatisfied and afraid, which leads to anger. Do you know people like this? Do you know people who live in this kind of perpetual state of bitterness and being angry and struggle to form deep connections with people? This is what it means to be a community of faith, though. The church is not about being perfect or pretending to be perfect. The church is not about a community attaining a level of holiness that outshines the rest of the world. No, no, no. Instead, one of the central aspects of the church is that we're a community that works at reconciliation, even when it's hard, when we hurt each other, and when we hurt others in this world. And in this process, it's not easy, but it is necessary if we're going to survive and thrive in life, if we're going to live the kind of life that God dreams for creation, where we are connected to each other and to God. It's not easy, but it's good. As we learn about and go deeper into the story of our faith, reconciliation is naming the harm that we've caused and asking for forgiveness. Reconciliation is about restoring relationships. It's about bringing back life from the dead. Reconciliation does not do this by requiring people to forget the wrong that they've experienced, or by renaming something that is bad as something that is good. No, no. Reconciliation is not tolerating abuse. Reconciliation is able to give life because at its core, it taps into God's love, mercy, and grace. Asking for forgiveness when you don't deserve it, and in turn, giving it, is what love is. It's what grace is. And that can only come from God. So, I don't know where you are in your life right now. I don't know what you have buried and left for dead, that thing in the dark gone forever so that any kind of light or new life would be completely unexpected. I don't know what relationships that you've given up on, but you know what those are. Those times, places, and people which you've used the words, our relationship is over. I will never let myself feel that way about another person again. Or I can't believe in this God thing anymore with all of the suffering out there. Or the time of happiness that I had will never return. Or I can never forgive. I can never let this go. It's too bad. It's too big. I'm too tired. I'm too angry. But here it is. Having a God of the resurrection that we celebrate in this time of Easter, having a God of reconciliation means that the story is seldom over when we think it is. New life is possible. God's grace and love has the power to address the great divides in our world and in our life. And that is the gospel lesson that we hear today. Reconciliation comes to us. It's not easy. It's not fast. But by living and practicing in a community of faith, by focusing on these aspects of love and grace and compassion and mercy, over time, we eventually begin to restore these relationships that have been broken because we see others and ourselves through the lens of God's love and the possibility that new life can indeed come to us. That is incredible. Incredibly powerful. It is the good news. It is the gospel. Thanks be to God for that. Amen. As a way of going deeper into the story of our faith, a couple of reflection questions for you to think about, journal about, or discuss with a friend. Question number one, what is your experience with reconciliation? Do you want to reconcile with others? What is difficult about that process? And question number two, name one person in your life with whom you have a strained or broken connection. What keeps you separated from this person?